Well, the countdown is on. Amen. Come Monday, these little guys get to school. I'm going to go to the Egg and I and order the most expensive thing on the menu. And kick back, man. Drink a cup of coffee slow. Amen? No, I'm not. I'm not going to get to do that. But that's right. That's right. I tell you what. Back to work. It's going to be great. Amen? We get the air conditioning fixed this week. It'll be a nice Monday. The AC back there is out. And so you know how that is when you lose your AC, don't you? Right? Hot and sweaty. Hot and sweaty. Did you enjoy the overcast sky today? Those of you that got out in it. Amen. Wasn't that awesome? Man, I'm telling you what. It rained everywhere around me, but on me. But the cool breeze blowing out of it, I'm telling you, that was almost as good as the rain. Amen? We got any testimonies tonight, man? Encouraging words, any testimonies? Anything? Yes, ma'am. Paul's home from the hospital and doing better. Amen. You didn't get that seed dip. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yes, ma'am, Carol. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's great. Any other testimonies or praises? All right, come on. Amen. All right, amen. Boy, that's great. Amen. That's super. Yes, Joe? Did you? Yeah. 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 Wow, amen. Isn't that great? Well, God knows, doesn't He? Amen. Amen. God knows. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen. Yeah. Amen, girl. Amen. Any others? Any others? Well, I'll be the last. Go ahead, brother. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I tell you what, Sunday night, I felt like crawling under a rock and never coming out. Man, I felt that bad physically. And then Monday morning, woke up and I had stuff going on with my eyes and stuff going on with my stomach. I was sicker than a dog Monday. Tuesday, it felt a little bit better. Today is the first day since last Saturday I felt like myself. Feels good. Amen? Amen. Feels pretty good. I like being me. Feeling all right. Amen? All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. We've been talking about last week and again this week how to handle prosperity. Boy, we are prosperous people. God has blessed us with much. We sang the song, with little. But boy, I'm telling you, here in this situation, it's with much God has blessed us with. And boy, we want to be accountable. We want to be responsible with what God gives us individually and what He gives us as a congregation. Amen? So I'm going to begin reading here. We're covering chapter 30. Verse 37 through about chapter 31, verse 16. We're not going to read all of that, but we are going to begin reading here in chapter 30, verse 43 through 31, 16. So let's all stand, if we can, stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, chapter 30, beginning in verse 43, and we'll take it through 31:16. If you found that this evening, would you say glory?
Glory.
All right, the Word of God reads this. Moses, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "And the man increased exceedingly," this is talking about Jacob, "and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses." Chapter 31:1. "And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before." Uh-oh. Laban's tried to throw a wrench in Jacob's endeavors for a long, long time. And God keeps what? He just keeps pouring it on Jacob, right? And Laban has finally figured it out. I cannot thwart the hand of the Lord that's on this boy. Okay? And so, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages." How many times? 10 times. "But God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled, and gristled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's, now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, and Lord, as we try to cover a large portion of Genesis tonight, Lord, I pray you give us clarity of mind. Lord, give us focus. Help us get some things out of this and not get bogged down in all the detail of it. But Lord, help us get some things out of this that we might take and apply to our own personal situation, to our own corporate situation as a church family, as a church body. And Lord, may we become more like Christ for being here tonight. May we be encouraged, challenged, Lord, and may we be just equipped to do your will and to do your word. Be with those that need to make decisions, even this night. If there's one here among us that doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, may this be the hour of their salvation. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Now, hey, we get Jacob, you know, by his little lonesome, and of course we can't do that because he's at the presence of Christ. But if we were able to have a conversation, and if we were able to ask Jacob about his success, oh golly, if we rewind this thing all the way back here to biblical times, to the point where he's living this thousands of years ago, where he's still got the sweat pouring off his brow, and he's still standing there in the tent complex in which he owns, I would imagine if we were to have asked Jacob about his success, he would say that his success was due to a combination of, first of all, hard work, second of all, ingenuity. I mean, did you see how I trimmed all those poplar and all those hazel and that other kind of tree I can't think of? Did you see how I did all that and put those put those striped poles down by the watering trough. Did you see? I mean, hard work, his own ingenuity, his own integrity, and of course, you know, the reason that he's successful is because the Lord helped him, right? Right? I mean, that's probably what he would say. The key to the story, though, the key to this whole passage that we're thinking about and that we read through, the key to the whole story is the dream in which the Lord reveals to Jacob that his prosperity had nothing to do with Jacob and everything to do with the Lord. Chapter 31, verses 10 through 12. In the dream, the male goats which were mating were the striped and speckled and gristled goats. Look at that just right quick. 31, 10 through 12. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straight, speckled, and gristled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, are ring-straight, speckled, and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Basically, the Lord calls Jacob's attention. And he gets him in this situation, and he's basically pointing out to him, Jacob, it's not your crazy scheme with the striped poles, buddy. I mean, as ingenious as you think that is, that's not it at all, Jacob. I'm the one who's causing these goats to mate. I'm the one, because I see how Laban has been treating you. See, God determined that the type of sheep and goats which Laban had agreed to pay Jacob would multiply according to natural genetic laws. Who made everything? God. Who wrote the genetic code? God. And when they get to the genetic code, I guarantee you they're going to find something smaller than that, and they're going to find something smaller than that, and they're finally going to end up finding God in all that. Right? Yeah. Because God made it all and can manipulate anything he wants to manipulate and change anything he desireth to change. Amen? And so as this guy, Laban, changed his wages, God's one step ahead of him. One step ahead of him. God is one step, two steps, three steps ahead of Laban. Look, Laban had agreed to pay Jacob. He would multiply according to these genetic laws. And Jacob's peeled branches, his striped sticks, had nothing to do with it. Now, Jacob was a hard worker. We give him that, right? Praise the Lord. How many of you like to work hard? Hard work's good. Love a good sweat, amen. Came up here today, brought Trevor up here for some summer school testing, and there was Kenneth Irvine. He had the sweat going on, amen. Smelled like work. Beautiful smell to me. I love that smell, amen. Smells like something's gotten done, amen. Don't you love sweaty smell? I love it, right? That kind of that musky thing going on, right? Now, after a day and a half of that, it's time to wash some of that off and start from fresh. Amen? Yeah, it's time to start from fresh. But when it's going on, it's a good thing. Jacob was a hard worker, and hard work often brings what? It often brings financial success. The Bible commends hard work, right? But even when we work hard, we need to realize that any success we enjoy comes from who? Comes from the Lord. Not from our hard work, who gave us the energy, who gave us the strength, who gave us the skill, who gave us the ability, who gave us the job, who gave us the opportunity, right? Who gave us the people under us, who put us on the team that we're at. I mean, it's God. It's a God thing. And realize this, some people work hard all their lives, and you know what? They never get ahead. They never catch a break. Oh, they work hard and they work hard. They never achieve financial security. Oh, some people do, right? But there's some people that don't. And while integrity is important, you know, Jacob's saying, well, you know, I was a little ingenious. I striped the wood and I was honest about it. You know, if they didn't come out the way Laban said, I'm getting paid. Well, I sent them on to his flock. You know, I had this great integrity. That's why I'm so successful. Well, while integrity is important for our testimony as God's people, the reality is that rather than fostering success, integrity often battles against success. Have integrity in the workplace, right? Have integrity at school. Have integrity in your dealings with folks. And sometimes what happens, see, the reality is that the scoundrel often prospers, doesn't he? Right? While the man of integrity misses out on some easy money. Oh, but the scoundrel gets it. So the bottom line is always the same. What's the bottom line, Pastor? Prosperity comes from the Lord alone. That's what we had said last week. Prosperity comes from the Lord alone. So let's think about, because we've got to think about it. We've gotten all the way up in here to chapter 31. We're closing in on more than halfway of the book. We've got to think about it. Who are the first recipients of this passage? This book of Genesis was written for somebody. God's Word's eternal. It's true. It's everlasting. It will go and go and go. But there was a first audience that got it. Who were those people? Yeah, they were the Israelites, weren't they? Moses' readers. Right? Let's think about the first recipients of this passage. And for that matter, of all of Genesis, the Israelites. And Moses' readers, what would they need to understand? They would need to understand, just as we need to understand, that prosperity comes from who? Comes from the Lord. See, there's some parallels between Jacob's situation with Laban and the Hebrew situation in Egypt. Jacob went to Haran, Laban's hometown. He went there with nothing, just as Israel went to Egypt without much. Oh, they had little when they got there. Jacob became prosperous as God gave Laban's wealth to him, just as Israel became prosperous when God gave Egypt's wealth to them. And Israel needed to remember that any prosperity they enjoyed, whether from Egypt or after they entered the promised land, came from the Lord, not from themselves. Don't you love it when a passage just basically unpacks itself? I mean, it just says, here I am, this is what I'm saying to you. You see what the passage is saying to you, don't you? Do you see the principle of stewardship here? I mean, here it is in the Old Testament, the principle of stewardship, just laid out before us to just sink our teeth into. You see this principle of stewardship. You've got to see the principle of stewardship here. The principle of stewardship is that we are not owners of what? We don't own anything. Oh, no. We don't own anything, but only managers. Only managers of it. God owns it all. Who's the owner? God. And you know what I love about God? He directs how He wants His stuff to be used. Not my stuff, it's His stuff. Not your stuff, it's His stuff. All of it's His. Right? See, we tend to think that whatever we have is ours. Well, because we worked for it. I mean, we got the sweaty all up. And I mean, man, we got up early and we worked till late. And we earned that. We worked hard for that. That's ours. And so we have a right to spend it. To spend it as we please. So we think, this is what we think. We think if we're real generous, we'll give God that 10%. Boy, we're just knocking it out of the park. We're real generous. Then we can squander, see? We think we can squander the rest on ourselves or whatever selfish pursuits we may have. But that's not God's perspective on prosperity. All prosperity comes to us from the Lord. Amen? See, I knew that it would be quiet in here. I knew it was all exciting before we got to that point. Amen? That's where the rubber actually hit the road. All prosperity comes to us from the Lord. And so, point number one was, prosperity comes from the Lord alone. Secondly, where we pick it up tonight is simply this, prosperity must be used for God's purposes. Amen? Or oh me. Prosperity must be used for God's purpose, His purposes. When God gives prosperity, it's not for our enjoyment alone. Is he upset when we enjoy things? I don't think so. I think God wants us to enjoy life, wants us to have a victorious, joyful, a life filled with peace. Amen? Right? Notice I didn't say happy. I said a life filled with peace. Right? Joy-filled, peace-filled, right?
I don't think God gets upset when we have some joy in our lives, some enjoyment in our lives, but He gives prosperity to us. He blesses us so that we will what? So that we will bless others. We'll bless others. See, God promised to bless Abraham and his descendants so that they would be His channel of blessing to all nations. Right? Amen. That's why God reminds Jacob in chapter 31, verse 13. 31:13. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointedst the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto thee the land of thy kindred. Right? The Lord is calling Jacob back to his purpose. Jacob back to his purpose. God is saying, I've kept my part of the deal. I protected and blessed you. Now you keep your part of the deal by returning to the land which I'm going to use in my purpose of blessing all nations through your descendants. Right? You people are doing this. You're doing this. We see you come up here and those of you meeting adults, every church I've ever been a part of, they're always, you know what they're doing? They're always racking their brain. How can we get young couples in our church? Oh, we got to get some young couples in our church. How can we get them? Anybody comes here is welcome here, amen? Anybody. But I have never been the young couple guy. I've never stayed up all hours of the night figuring out how to get young couples. I'll take median adults over young couples any day. You give me 50 median adult couples, we could take over the world. Amen? Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? I'm a young couple, and I'm in my 40s. I'm barely a young couple, right? I've got 4 kids. 3 weddings to pay for, 4 to put through school. I've got a mortgage, 2 car payments. Man, are you kidding me? I'm chasing my tail 24/7, 365. But this guy, his kids are gone and grown. This guy, gone and grown, empty nester, right? Come up here any other day. This guy over here spends his days up here. This guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, these gals. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all, they still know you got a wallet. Amen? Amen? You folks get to do that. You get to do that. Now, hey, you know what I do with young couples? Point them to people like you. And say, hey, life will slow down for you one day. One day. Little League, there won't be any more Little League practice one day. There won't be any little more band concerts. There won't be any more this now. Oh, you have grandkids that do it, but you won't be on the, your feet won't be to the fire so hot. You know what? Then you can do your deal. And you've done that. Amen? And that's a good thing. Amen, church? That's a good thing. So what we're talking about is what we see going on a lot in the church. Amen? Now, we don't know at this point in the story. We don't know at this point in the story how much Jacob understood God's purpose. I think he understood God's word. Son, it's time to go home. Get your stuff together and move. I think he understood that, but I don't know if he absolutely understood the covenant. There are some things that kind of point that he really got the covenant. That, hey man, Christ is coming through. The Messiah is coming through your line of people. And there are some things that show us that, kind of like the disciples, man. Kind of like us a lot of times. He ain't got a clue. We really don't know. My guess is that he's a lot like the disciples or even probably a little like us and unclear. Unclear on what God is doing, what God wants us to do. Like the disciples and us, Jacob was inclined, and this is what happens to us sometimes, Jacob was inclined to enjoy the blessings and forget that those God has blessed were to become a blessing to others. Oh, don't ever forget that, church. Amen. Don't ever forget that. If you have anything, if God's blessed you with anything, He wants you to use your strength, your finances, your personality, your wit, your wisdom. He wants you to use it to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. He wants to use you to point people to Christ. He wants them to see Jesus. He wants them to have an opportunity to be a part of His kingdom. Amen. Your choice. You've been selected. You've been called. Amen, church. Moses' readers were in the same place, I think, that a lot of us get into at times. They had come out of Egypt after spoiling the Egyptians, after taking all that the Egyptians would give them. They were now ready to go into the promised land and to live in cities and houses they had not built, to drink from cisterns they had not dug, to tend vineyards and olive trees they had not planted. And Moses' warning to them was to beware lest in their prosperity they forget the Lord. They forget the Lord. I want you to look at a couple of passages of Scripture in Deuteronomy, and then we'll be done almost. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The last book of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. And this should be affirming to you. This Bible study tonight should be affirming to you. Might cause you to think some things through, but overall, I think we're seeking to do what's here tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. God's Word reads, "And houses full of all good things which thou filledst thou not, and wells digged which thou diggedst not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantedst not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." You guys remember when you were lost, the bondage that you were in? Do you realize that if you're living here in these United States of America, you're living here in this part of Texas, you're living here in a state that could, if it wanted to, be its own nation? I mean, you're living in one of the top states in the nation, right? The power grid here is contained in the state of Texas. It doesn't cross state lines. Can't say that about every state. Self-contained, man. Self-contained. We have water here, fresh. We have a coastline, right? It's an awesome state. God's called you out of bondage spiritually, and He's placed you in a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it's amazing to me that we get to be here during this time. Amen. As tough as things have been, as tough as things may get with the oil stuff, still, what a huge blessing it is. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, 7. 8, 7. Kind of a repeat, but I think Moses is trying to get them to get the point. Deuteronomy 8, 7. "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, that thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee." Verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee from out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, wherein there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy later end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So, where are we in all of this? I know a lot of times we want to play the victim. We want to play that, boy, we're just so struggling. And certainly, there have been times in each of our lives that we have struggled, but God has blessed us. Amen? And He's given us more material prosperity than just about any nation in history. Even the poorest of us are rich by world standards. If you ever need a perspective change, if you ever need your worldview kind of shaken up, all you got to do is get in your car, drive 300 plus miles, get to the Mexico border, go through the check down there at the border, and just check out some of those border towns. Just drive around some of them. Or get out and walk if you dare so to do. Once you cross that border and you're no longer in these United States of America, you know what happens to you? If you're middle class, you're no longer middle class. If you're lower middle class, you're no longer lower middle class. If you're poor, you're no longer poor. If you're upper middle class, you're no longer upper middle class. Once you cross that line, you become rich. You become rich. That's the majority. It's the majority of the world is what you see 300-something miles from here. That's the majority of how people live. No air conditioning. No clean water. That. Amen? But what does he want us to do? Prosperity must be used for God's purpose. Prosperity comes from the Lord alone. Amen, church? So thank you for being a generous people with your time, with your finances, with your talents and your gifts. Keep it up. Amen? Don't forget, it all comes from Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into our prayer time tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, that we can cover some ground tonight in Genesis. Thank You, Lord, that we've gotten to go this far in it. I pray You just continue to lead, guide us, direct us as we get on through the rest of the book. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for Your church. We pray for this church. May You continue to prosper and bless and grow it as You see fit. May You use us in spite of us. And Lord, where we fail You, may You forgive us. We love You tonight. We praise You. Thank You for our salvation. It's in Your name we pray. God's people said, amen. All right. Prayer requests out there tonight. Yes, ma'am.